Good day, brethren. I hope you will have a wonderful and meaningful Feast of Tabernacles. So I hope. Hope, what is hope? When we have hope, what does that mean? The word hope is both a verb and a noun. Merriam-Webster defines the verb hope as to cherish, a desire with anticipation, to want something to happen or be true. The noun hope is a desire accompanied by an expectation of or belief in fulfillment. When you think about it, hope is a forward-looking concept. We can't have hope in the past because everything that we might have hoped for has already been done. Hope is about the future. In his book, Mystery of the Ages, in the chapter, Who and What is God, Mr. Armstrong talks about the false doctrine of the Trinity. The Trinity doctrine limits God to a supposed three persons. It destroys the very gospel of Jesus Christ. His gospel is the good news of the now soon coming kingdom of God, the only hope of this world and its mixed up mankind. Mr. Armstrong realized that the kingdom of God was man's only hope. Yes, the only hope for mankind is the kingdom of God. Today we will discuss the hopelessness of Satan's world and the wonderful hope of tomorrow's world provided by God and God's kingdom. First, we'll look at the utter hopelessness that is in today's world. Next, we'll look at five areas of hope that are provided by the kingdom of God: the hope of eternal life, the hope of peace, the hope of stability, the hope of health, and the hope of prosperity. Let's consider today's rampant hopelessness. The sad fact is that Satan's world offers little hope for mankind. All you must do is read or listen to the news. What do you hear? Political chaos, unmanageable debt, unemployment, looming financial disaster, disease epidemics, the threat of World War III, and utter lawlessness. It doesn't take much imagination to see that mankind is in a death spiral from which he cannot recover. We cannot place hope in man's government. Political correctness has not only taken over our governments, but it has taken over common sense as well. The will of the few is forced upon the many. We have the modern phenomena of being canceled because you disagree with the current woke or LGBT movements. It's come to a point where citizens no longer trust their government because of corruption and lies. On the Pew Research website, there is an interesting graph of the percentage of people who trust the government to do what is right. It ranges from the time of President Eisenhower, who had the trust of 75% of those polled, to President Biden, who has less than 25%. The government can offer no hope for the future to its citizens because it has become arrogant and self-serving. Christ points this out when he talks about the true nature of man's government in Luke. Turn to Luke 22, and we'll read verses 25 to 26. Luke 22, 25. And he said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But you shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief, as he that does serve. It's interesting that those who lord it over others like to be called a benefactor. A benefactor is someone who gives. Today's politicians are there for the power and for self-service. They are arrogant and narcissistic. The world's governments are built upon lies and therefore cannot offer hope. The prophet Isaiah describes the state of today's governments. Turn to Isaiah 59. We'll read verse 12 through 15. Isaiah 59, verse 12 through 15, in the King James Version. For our transgressions are multiplied before you, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. And transgressing and lying against the Lord and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. And judgment is turned away backward, and justice stands afar off, for truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yes, truth fails, and he that departs from evil makes himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. Note in verse 15 that if you depart from evil, then you become a prey. You have a target on your back, if you will. How many times has someone stood up for the truth in some article or post on the internet only to become canceled? When you are canceled, it usually means loss of employment, income, and angry harassment. If you love truth, you will be persecuted. And this is this world that offers no hope for financial security. Financial security is slipping through our fingers. According to the Manhattan Institute, the national debt will reach $41 trillion. We as a nation are amassing a debt that our descendants' descendants have no hope of repaying. From the creditkarma.com website, in May of 2022, 73 million Credit Karma members have 311 million open accounts, with $374 billion in credit card debt, for an average debt of $6,198 per member. If these folks are making the minimum payment only, it can take decades to pay off this debt. On the website financialmentor.com, there's a calculator that will show you how long it will take to pay off credit card debt. So I punched in $6,198 at 18% interest with 2% minimum payment. It will take 50 years to pay off this debt, and you will have paid $17,525 in interest when you do pay it off. Of course, if you pay a higher monthly amount, you can pay the debt off quicker. But according to Nielsen and others, 50 to 78% of Americans live from paycheck to paycheck. So I would imagine they would be making minimum payments on their credit cards. This world offers no hope for indebted people. When we have no hope, many see no reason to live. There are disturbing suicide statistics from the CDC website. In 2020, 12.2 million adults seriously thought about suicide. 3.2 million adults planned their suicide, and 12 million adults attempted suicide. 45,979 people died by suicide, one death every 11 minutes. This brings to mind Proverbs 29. Turn to Proverbs 29, and we'll read verse 18. Proverbs 29:18. Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keeps the law, happy is he. The word vision is from the Hebrew root word, a sight, a dream, revelation, or oracle. In the book of Hebrews, we see that hope is actually a part of faith. Turn to Hebrews 11:1, and we'll read the definition of faith. Hebrews 11:1, and this will be in the New Living Translation. Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. Assurance and hope combine to form faith. So we have a vision of the kingdom that gives us hope. And we are assured, we're confident, that that vision will come true even though we currently cannot see the kingdom of God. During my early years in God's church, shortly after I was baptized, as I recall, I had two vivid dreams of being in the kingdom of God. They were the type of dreams that when you wake up, you want to go back to sleep to continue in the dream. It was very disappointing that I had woken up. I don't recall the exact details of the dream, but I do remember I was in some sort of city, perhaps New Jerusalem, I don't know. The dreams are very vivid, as I recall, though. Now, there's nothing that epitomizes the state of hopelessness more than those imprisoned in Nazi concentration camps during World War II. Viktor Frankl was a well-known Jewish psychiatrist. He survived being a prisoner in a concentration camp and went on to write the best-selling book, Man's Search for Meaning. The following is a quote from the article entitled, Viktor Frankl's Revelation of Hope by Steve Backlund. It's on the website ignitinghope.com. Viktor Frankl, in his book, Backlund writes, in his book, Man's Search for Meaning, recounts how hope for the future was the most single important factor in determining whether his fellow prisoners survived the Nazi concentration camps of World War II. He wrote, "The prisoner who had lost faith in the future, his future, was doomed. With his loss of belief in the future, he also lost his spiritual hold. He let himself decline and become subject to mental and physical decay." Frankl, who helped millions value hope after he was released from concentration camps, had at the core of his therapy this truth: human beings are driven by their views of their own future. The more positive the future is seen, the more power and purpose there will be for the present. Consider that when you think about the kingdom of God and the hope that it provides us, the future hope. Let's look at that hope, some of the hope that this kingdom of God will give us. First, there is the hope of eternal life. Turn to Ezekiel 37, verses 11 through 12. Ezekiel 37, 11 through 12. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dry. Our hope is lost. We are cut off from our parts. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Modern man vainly seeks to extend his lifetime. A few people live past 100 years, but death is inevitable for all humans. Without the hope of the resurrection, the grave is the end of the line for all of us. And frankly, who would want to live forever as a human being? But God has provided a way into his kingdom via the resurrection. So death does not stop us. But without the resurrection and eternal life, we have no hope, as Paul shows us in 1 Corinthians. Turn to 1 Corinthians 15, and we'll read verses 12 through 20. 1 Corinthians 15. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching vain, and your faith is vain also. Yea, and when we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be it that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then Christ is not raised, and if Christ is not raised, your faith is in vain, and you are yet in your sins. Then they which also sleep, fallen asleep in Christ, are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now Christ is risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Turn to Isaiah 25, verse 8. He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken it. And turn to Isaiah 25, and we'll read verses 6 through 8 in the New Living Translation. I'll have a lot of verses from Isaiah, because it's interesting. The book of Isaiah contains the entire plan of God from beginning to end. Isaiah 25, verse 6 through 8. In Jerusalem, the Lord of heaven's armies will spread a wonderful feast for all the people of the world. It will be a delicious banquet with clear, well-aged wine and choice meat. There he will remove the cloud of gloom, the shadow of death that hangs over the earth. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away all tears. He will remove forever all insults and mockery against his land and people. The Lord has spoken. Man will no longer need to fear death. And what of hope and justice and peace? What about the hope of justice and peace? There will be peace in the millennium. There will be justice in the millennium. Turn to Isaiah 29. And we'll read verses 19 through 24 and the New American Standard Version. Isaiah 29:19. The afflicted also will increase their gladness in the Lord, and the needy of mankind will rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. For the ruthless will come to an end, and the scorner will be finished. Indeed, all those who are intent on doing evil will be cut off, who cause a person to be indicted by a word, and ensnare him who adjudicates at the gate, and defraud the one in the right with meaningless arguments. Look at today's legal system. The criminal gets set free, and the victim suffers because of the shifty words of some lawyer or judge. Continuing verse 22, therefore, thus says the Lord who redeems Abraham concerning the house of Jacob, Jacob shall not be ashamed, now be ashamed, shall not now be ashamed, nor shall his face turn pale. But when he sees his children, the work of my hands in the midst, they will sanctify my name. Indeed, they will sanctify the Holy One of Jacob and will stand in awe of the God of Israel. Those who err in mind and will know the truth, and those who criticize will accept instruction. Justice in the millennium will be rendered by a just king and will result in peace on the earth. The judges appointed under the king, us, will have the ability to see what is in the heart and judge accordingly. They cannot be bribed, nor influenced, nor do they belong to any political organization. They are righteous judges. Turn to Isaiah chapter 11, verses 3 through 9. Again, this will be in the New American Standard Version. Isaiah 11, verses 3 through 9. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord, and he will not judge by what his eyes see, nor make a decision by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he will judge the poor, and decide with fairness for the afflicted of the earth. And he will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. And righteousness will be the belt about his loins, and faithfulness the belt about his waist. And the wolf will dwell with the lamb, and the leopard will lie with the young goat, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little boy will lead them. Also the cow and the bear will graze, young will lie down together. Their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The nursing child will play by the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child will put his hand in the viper's den. They will not destroy or hurt in my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters covered the sea. Complete justice and peace. Let's read Isaiah 32, verses 15 through 18 in the King James Version. Isaiah 32, 15 through 18. Until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness be a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be counted for a forest, then judgment shall dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness remain in the fruitful field. And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness quietness and assurance forever. And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation, and in sure dwellings, and in quiet resting places. Turn to Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 4. Isaiah 2:4. Very familiar scripture. And he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. Peace on earth. Justice on earth. And what about the hope of stability? How can there be any hope in a world that is unstable, in a world that is on the brink of financial collapse and world war? But God's government will offer us stability. Turn to Isaiah chapter 33 and verse 6, and we'll read this in the New American Standard. Isaiah 33, 6. And he will be the stability of your times, a wealth of salvation, wisdom, and knowledge. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. Stability means firmness, security, fidelity. There will be no fear of hurricanes, typhoons, earthquakes. There will be no fear of financial doom. There will be fidelity between God and his people that will make tomorrow's world stable. Turn to Isaiah chapter 49. And we'll read verses 8 through 10. Isaiah 49, 8 through 10. Thus says the Lord, in an acceptable time have I heard you, and in the day of salvation, in a day of salvation I have helped you. And I will preserve you, and I will give you for a covenant of the people to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritages. That thou may say to the prisoners, go forth, and them that are in darkness, show yourselves. They shall feed in the ways, and their pastures shall be in high places. They shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall the heat nor sun smite them. For he that has mercy on them shall lead them, even by the springs of water shall he guide them. And in Isaiah chapter 60, verses 18 through 19, this is the New Living Translation, Isaiah 60, 18 through 19. Violence will disappear from your land. The desolation and destruction of war will end. Salvation will surround your city walls, and praise will be on the lips of all those who enter there. No longer will you need the sun to shine by day, nor the moon to give its light, for the Lord your God will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory. And what of the hope of health in the future? Turn to Isaiah 35, verses 5 through 6. I believe this verse is read almost every feast. Isaiah 35, 5 through 6. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing, for in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert. We will have health and healing. Isaiah 57, verses 15 through 19. Isaiah 57, 15 through 19. For thus says the Lord, For thus says the High and Lofty One that inhabits eternity, whose name is Holy. I dwell in a high and holy place, and with him that is of contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. For I will not contend forever, neither will I always be wroth, for the spirit should fail before me, and the souls which I have made. For the iniquity of his covetousness was I wroth, and smote him. I hid me, and was wroth, and he went on forwardly in the way of his heart. I have seen his ways, and I will heal him. I will lead him, and restore comforts unto him and to his mourners. I will recreate the fruit of the lips. Peace, peace to him that is far off, and him that is near, says the Lord, and I will heal him. Jeremiah 33, verse 6 through 8. Jeremiah 33, verse 6 through 8. Behold, I will bring it health and cure, and I will cure them, and I will reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth. And I will cause the captivity of Judah and the captivity of Israel to return, and will build them as at the first, and I will cleanse them from all their iniquity, whereby they have sinned against me, and I will pardon all their iniquities, whereby they have sinned, and whereby they have transgressed against me. In Psalm 41, verse 1 through 3, this is in the New Living Translation. Psalm 41, verse 1 through 3. Oh, the joys of those who are kind to the poor. The Lord rescues them when they are in trouble. The Lord protects them and keeps them alive. He gives prosperity in the land and rescues them from their enemies. The Lord nurses them when they are sick and restores them to health, which leads to the hope of prosperity. The hope of prosperity. Turn to Isaiah 25, verse 6. Isaiah 25, 6. And in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things, a feast of wines on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of wines and lees well refined. And in Micah chapter 4, verse 4, this is a well-known scripture. But they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid, for the Lord of hosts has spoken it. Prosperity. Psalm 25, verses 12 through 13. This will be in the New American Standard Version. Psalm 25, 12 through 13. Who is the man who fears the Lord? He will instruct him in the way he should choose. His soul will abide in prosperity, and his descendants will inherit the land. Zechariah 1, verse 16 through 17, the New Living Translation. Zechariah 1, 16 through 17. Therefore, this is what the Lord says. I have returned to show mercy to Jerusalem. My temple will be rebuilt, says the Lord of heaven's armies, and measurements will be taken for the reconstruction of Jerusalem. Say this also, that this is the word of the Lord of heaven's armies. The towns of Israel will again overflow with prosperity, and the Lord will again comfort Zion and choose Jerusalem as his own. Isaiah 59 sums up just why there can be no hope in this world. Turn to Isaiah 59, starting with verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity, and your lips have spoken lies, and your tongue has muttered perverseness. None calls for justice, nor any pleads for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. They hatch cockatrices' eggs and weave spider's web. And he that eats their eggs dies, and that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. Their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil. They make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have not made them they have made them crooked paths. Whoever goes therein shall not know peace. Keep this passage in mind next time you read the news or you look at the news on the TV or on the internet. How can there be hope in a world like this? But through God's mercy, there will be a world tomorrow. There will be a kingdom that will offer eternal life. There will be a king that will rule in justice, a king who will bring peace. His kingdom will be a stable kingdom that will provide healing and great prosperity. Turn to Proverbs 24 and verse 1 through 4. Proverbs 24, 1 through 4. This is the hope of the kingdom versus today's world. Be not envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them. For their heart studies destruction, and their lips talk of mischief. Through wisdom is a house builded, and by understanding it is established. And by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. I wanted to end with an anecdote about hope. And I came across this story when I was doing some searching. Once there was a man who was running a business. He faced severe losses and had to sell his properties and cars to continue running the business. Seeing the situation, the son asked his father, "Why are you still running the business when you're losing money? Why don't you just shut down the business?" The father smiled and replied, "My son, life can bring us many challenges and even can push us down, but we must hope that we can overcome any challenges." The boy asked, "How can hope help us?" "Okay, I will show you," the father replied. The father took his son to a big well and asked him to jump in. The boy was shocked. "Father, I don't know how to swim. I can't jump." But his father pushed him into the well and went into a hiding place. And the boy struggled to keep afloat close to 5 minutes. When he was about to give up, his father jumped in and pulled his son out of the well. The next day, the father again took his son to the well and asked the boy to jump in. First, the boy hesitated. Then he jumped into the well, and the father went into hiding. The boy struggled to keep floating, and he pushed harder and harder. He kept paddling for 15 minutes until his father came and pulled his son out of the well. "Why were you paddling harder than yesterday?" the boy's father asked. The boy thought a while and said, "Yesterday, I didn't know what you would do when you pushed me into the well. So I was afraid that I would drown. But today, I knew that you would come and save me before I drowned." We as Christians build hope through each trial God allows us to face. We know that our Father is there to pull us out of the well, as He will not allow us to struggle more than we are able to. Our hope lies in entering the kingdom of God, struggling for the kingdom of God. Brethren, I'll conclude with this. Elie Wiesel was a Romanian Jew who survived Auschwitz and Buchenwald, the concentration camps, notorious concentration camps. The following is a quote from him. Just as man cannot live without dreams, he cannot live without hope. If dreams reflect the past, hope summons the future. Our hope, indeed man's hope, lies in the future coming kingdom of God.